Next on BYUSN, which month of games is the toughest on BYU football schedule? Plus, would a 4-8 or 8-4 season for BYU be more surprising? Stuart Mandel of The Athletic tells us what his expectations are for the Cougars in year two of the Big 12.
Who are the best players that the Cougars will play this season? We'll take a look at the top Big 12 players in the Heisman conversation. And a recent poll in college basketball from coaches says the BYU has one of the best NIL programs in the sport. Why is this such a big deal? Well, we'll discuss.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, August 22nd. I am Jerem Jordan. He is BYU TV's dump button pusher, Jason Shepard.
I think we may have found some additional programming that we can air on BYU TV.
Is it from Canada?
It is not from Canada. Okay. We're going to need to secure the rights. But apparently, and I have not watched, and I usually am a frequent viewer of this. In fact, I usually will get this network just specifically to watch this program. And I'm referring to Hard Knocks on HBO. Apparently, there is a very noticeable change with this season with the Chicago Bears. Mm. And that change is a lack of swearing. Mm. So here's what I'm thinking.
This audience appreciates it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So if BYU TV can maybe secure the rights, we might actually be able to air Hard Knocks on BYU TV.
We might have to kill all the other programs.
Okay, here's the story.
To afford it.
Here's the story behind it. People have noticed, like, where's all the cussing? Which, by the way, is that tells you all you need to know about society these days. Don't get me started on that. But
preaching to the choir.
I guess I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe literally. The organization, out of respect for their ownership that does not necessarily like those types of words, they don't swear very much within the organization. And they certainly, the producer, the director of the series says, yeah, this is a team that does not swear anywhere close to other teams that we've been around.
That's pretty interesting.
So I'm just saying, if there's
a chance. Fall 2025, the Miami Dolphins on hard. No. So on BYU TV.
Maybe one of these days awesome. We'll be able to see Hard Knocks on BYU TV. I don't know.
Yeah.
When things align, sometimes you just take advantage of it.
They don't even beep out stuff, you know, because that doesn't even happen here. We've had the occasional swear word from a guest on the show.
Occasionally, but not like...
Not hosts.
No, not hosts.
Not yet.
And not really
11,
bad.
11 years in, yet to have anything. And we hope that continues through this segment.
Good for the Chicago Bears. I don't know how many games you're going to win, but good on you.
You know what? Thanks to Jim McMahon in 1985, who never cursed even at BYU. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
I can see why the outside perspective says we're going to win four.
If they can stay healthy, have the ball bounce their way a couple times, they can certainly win more games than that.
You got to bring it. There are no off days.
We've got to be disciplined. We've got to be determined.
Usually the defining games tend to come late in the year or past the midpoint of the season because that's when the stakes are the highest.
What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. We are another day closer to the start of Cougar football, which is the point of why this building probably exists. Which is how many days away again?
Countdown to the Salukis.
9 days away. Nine. All right, Chip, let's slice up the season in this way. Which month of the schedule is the toughest for BYU football?
To me, it's pretty easy. I would be curious for those that maybe think it's other and the reason why, because to me, you look at October, and what's funny about the month of October is it has the fewest games, and I'm assuming we're taking August out, which only has one, obviously.
Wait,
but it has the fewest games of any of the other months that BYU plays. Right. Yet to me, it is the toughest. You have the bye the first week of October.
That's not tough.
That's not tough. But then you host Arizona, host Oklahoma State, at UCF. Mm. So you're talking about facing two of the top five teams, or the ranked teams.
Yep.
And then you're at UCF, which by all
accounts... They could be ranked by that point.
By all accounts, this is one of those teams that most people believe is going to cause some problems within the Big 12. They have KJ Jefferson now as their quarterback. We know how good he is. There is a lot of buzz around the Knights. And so, to me, that right there is the toughest month. If we're just going by month, we're not talking about a four-week stretch.
Lunar calendar, of course.
We're talking literally the month. So for me, it's pretty easy that it's the month of October.
I agree. because two of those three are ranked opponents as of now. Arizona had a tremendous year. They return McMillan and Fifita at receiver and quarterback, respectively. More on them coming up. And UCF is sneaky. UCF might be the most talented roster in the Big 12, yet they are not ranked.
Right.
They just have so much talent coming out of Florida. They're going to put it together one of these times, and maybe it's this year, and be kind of 10-3-ish and do what Oklahoma State did last year, I think, and contend for a Big 12 title. You look at August and September. Southern Illinois, you expect to win. Top 10 FCS kind of team. Good defense. At SMU's tough. That's a short week against a new Power 4 explosive offense with SMU. Hot and humid in Texas. At Wyoming, sneaky because old Mountain West WAC rival. Rocky Mountain State's probably conference rival. Kansas State's going to be a huge one. Big 12 opener at home, 96 Cotton Bowl rematch and vibes. Didn't play them last year. The old Lavelle Edwards, Bill Snyder, two classic coaches from those programs. New era now. Baylor is a team that BYU split with in 21 and 22, trying to avenge the loss
in Waco.
There.
Yep.
Right, it's going to be tough. Also, hot and humid in Waco at that point, but Magnolia Lanes and Dr. Pepper for all the fans to visit. So that's a fun road trip. That's not as tough as October. It's tough, but you got to come out of August, September 3-2, probably at a minimum. To set yourself up in October, we're talking about it tough. Shep, I need 1-2 at a minimum. I need at least one win there of those three, which, by the way, BYU should be a dog in all three of those. If BYU somehow goes 2-1 in there, they've got a shot at 7-plus wins.
Yeah.
If you go 0-3, you've really got to show up in November because you have bye week at Utah, which would be a big upset and an awesome win. Kansas at home. Hello, Jeff Grimes. Welcome back, OC, at Kansas, who has Jalen Daniels, who didn't play last year. It's Jason Bean, was in the mix. And then in the last two games, at Arizona State and Houston, you got to win both of those. But I need BYU with at least 5 wins walking into those two. That way, if you get 1-2, you're good. You went to a bowl game, check. You took at least a step forward. If you can win both, maybe you're 7 wins. You go to a bowl game, maybe you get 8. That would be spectacular.
But look at the FBI win percentage. It's just Houston.
Arizona State at only 42% is even a little interesting, right? But BYU's got to prove itself. These numbers will adjust as we get going. Like Kansas, you only have a 3.5% better chance to beat Kansas at home than at Utah.
I know. That is remarkable to me when I see these percentages. Okay, let me throw this little curveball at you.
I don't hit curveballs, but go ahead.
Okay, well, good. Then this is going to work out for me then. The question that we asked is which month of BYU schedule is the toughest?
Yes.
Let's take the word toughest out and insert most important.
Most important.
So which month of BYU schedule is the most important? Because to me, it is
easily
different.
Easily August, September.
Yes.
You have to jump out and at least go 3-2. If you go 2-3, you probably got Southern Illinois and Wyoming, and you've lost your Power 4 games at that point. Now you're walking in October on a bye, and you're like, oh my gosh, we have to win two of these three. To put ourselves in position in November to go to a bowl game. So you agree? You feel the same?
Oh, there's 100%. And I'm taking the one game in August out because BYU is going to beat Southern
Illinois.
Dare
you denigrate the great month of August.
The Salukis. BYU is going to win that game. Yeah. So I'm specifically, they're going to be 1-0. So then at SMU, at Wyoming, versus Kansas State, at Baylor.
Hold up. Is that SMU the lowest FPI win percentage chance?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. BYU has the least
percentage
chance of winning at SMU than any. They have a better chance to win at Utah.
By like 5%.
Yes.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Huh.
And that's the one.
Interesting.
We have had this discussion, Spencer and I, Dave and I. The game at Wyoming does not concern me like it concerns a lot of other people. It's the game at SMU. That is the one. This is the month of September, that will set things up for what the rest of the year looks like. If you can come out of the month of September at minimum 2-2, but if you can be 3-1 in those final four, which I'm not saying is easy, but it's certainly possible. If you can do that, then you have set yourself up excellently for the rest of the year. If you don't, if you're a game behind that, or heaven forbid, two games off of that mark, then what you've done is you've made it almost, you have to win some of these games that you know you're going to be an underdog.
Yes.
And then the pressure is really, really on. So for me, the way this season starts, the way the BYU enters their toughest month of October. To me, that's the most important stretch because it will set up everything else the rest of the year.
BYU's bye weeks are well placed, by the way, as we take a look at the entire slate here. So BYU, a favorite by FPI standard against Southern Illinois, Wyoming, and then Houston. So three whole games. How many games is BYU going to, in Vegas, be a favorite walking into? I would say Southern Illinois. I'm going to guess at Wyoming as well. And then Houston at home, I would think, at the end of the season. Now, what if Houston pulls the West Virginia and they're really good? Who knows?
They're favored in three games.
They're favored in three games. And is it high 40s in any other? It's not really a 50-50 proposition in any other game. Arizona State, the closest.
Yes.
There. We're hearing so much. Negativity relative to BYU football walking in. Hopefully the boys can shock the world. And shock the world, honestly, would be an 8-4 season, go to a bowl game, you have a chance at 9 if you go 8-5. That would be shocking, because if you're plus 4 wins better than everyone thought, that's essentially what West Virginia did last year. Well, they end up 9 wins, I think. They were picked to just be horrendous.
Right.
Hopefully BYU, as the chip on the shoulder, which is the vibe that we're getting from fall camp, yep, talking to players and coaches, is, hey, we feel like we're going to be way better with these guys. And BYU has good players. Can they show that they're way better? Yeah. And they were this close to being 7-5 last year. We'd feel like 7-5 was a nice step forward this year. I want 8-4, man, which brings us to topic two in a moment. But first, how about record by month under Kalani Sitake? Some interesting numbers here. August and September, the last 3 years, 12-2. In the Sitake era, 22-14. Last 3 years in October, 4-8. October's been tough.
It's been a tough month.
And then November, last 4 years, 6-4. Last year was 0-4 with Jake Retzlaff getting all those starts. Sitake era, 21-10. That's been a strong month. In Independence, tough to get those better games in December.
Yeah.
So BYU's typically started pretty strong in the last 3 years under Kalani Sitake. Hopefully they do as well.
All right, so you mentioned the possibility of 8-4. Let's just throw this out there. Yep. What would surprise you more?
Okay.
If BYU went 4-8 or 8-4?
I would be more surprised by 4-8. Here's why. I expect 7-5, so give me one more win. Mm-hmm. I don't expect 5-7, give me one more loss. Like, no, yeah. I don't want that. Because I think generally speaking, BYU fans, I feel like, think 6-6 is the probable record. Vegas is screaming at us 4-8. Mm-hmm. But if I'm thinking 7-5 is going to happen, why doesn't the ball bounce your way?
You get one game that maybe you didn't think you were going to win, or the Vegas didn't think you were going to win, goes your way.
And then it's 8-4, and then we walk into next year. And if Jake Retzlaff finishes as the starter, you go, hey, we're bringing back the quarterback. We just went 8-4. We're figuring some things out in the Big 12. I love that idea. What do you think?
Yeah,
4-8 or 8-4? What surprised you more?
What would surprise me more is 4-8. And we're along the same lines.
Shocking.
Now, if you're going off of what the bettors are saying, the biggest surprise would be 8-4, because
certainly
that's 4 wins, more, almost 4 wins more than what they say.
Been way,
yes,
off.
So if you're going on that, the answer is 8-4. But I just, maybe at the end of the year, we're going to look back on this and, you know, it's like we just had our blue goggles on. We didn't want to see what everybody else was seeing.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing it. This team to me is so much better than 4 wins. And I do think this team can at least get to 6. And I'm with you. 7 wins this year, there is a path to get there.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. I think it's all based off of the way this team starts. The way they head into October is going to tell us so much. But the quick answer to your question, I would be more surprised if they finish 4-8, because I just think they're way better than what they're giving credit for.
The league feels like it has a ton of parity. And I thought that last year with Texas and Oklahoma. Texas was a high-end team, finally, where they went to the playoff, the 4-team playoff that was hard to get into. The 12-team playoff, you're going to see 3-loss teams get into that, maybe one day a 4-loss team. But this is a situation now where BYU is playing 5 ranked teams in the preseason poll, 4 at home. That's a tough schedule. And last year, BYU jumped out to 5-2, Shep, and we were like, dude, bowl game's happening. 5 losses in a row. The difference with this year's schedule is you have two winnable games in Arizona State and Houston sitting there at the end.
Yeah.
BYU did not have that last year. They had Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
And could have won both.
And could have won, and probably should have.
Certainly the one.
Won both.
Certainly the Oklahoma game.
Well, if you told me Dylan Gabriel goes out in the second half and you're at the five-yard line to tie or take the lead and you don't win that game, that one's tough. And then Oklahoma State, if you told me you were up 24-6 at halftime, I would say, yes, you should win that game. Those are very disappointing. But did you have to lose those games to make the changes to fix the O-line? Did you, like, sometimes you don't make changes unless it's a dumpster fire in certain areas. Certainly was in the run game. BYU made those changes. They expect to be better this year. So we both agree that 4-8 would be more shocking. Blue goggles might be on this one. We're going to operate from that standpoint. I could see where it could go poorly, given if you have an unfortunate amount of injuries and the league is super good and the ball doesn't bounce your way here and there. Yes. But what if you stay healthy and what if you have a strong start? And which to me, a 2-1 start would be good. I don't necessarily expect BYU to win at SMU. I would love to start 3-0. Don't get me wrong. At that point, we're all feeling pretty good. But the more on this, by the way, the bye week's perfectly placed. You play August and September. Bye week, so five games. Hopefully you're 3-2 at least. Three tough games, like we talked about, the toughest months of the season. Bye week at Utah, who also has a bye week prior to that, by the way. So the two-week buildup in the media for BYU-Utah. I think those are well-placed.
Well, and here's the other thing about the four wins from the outside perspective looking in. They look at BYU's schedule, and we know how tough it is. In terms of strength of schedule in the Big 12, we know what is – what BYU is facing this season in terms of a schedule. But I also think that so much of this is based off of the poor performance over the final month and a half last year. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at the O-line that struggled, the lack of the run game. You know, the quarterback play was not great. And a lot of that, though, was due to the other two things that I just mentioned prior to, not giving a pass at the quarterback position, but it's all together. I think they're focusing so much on what happened last year and not looking at the fact that, oh, well, this could be better. Look at the changes they've made.
Well,
and the fact that you don't have a quarterback that's named right now. I don't know how much that changes if there is, but the fact that it's still up in the air, at least publicly, I think that's all pushing outside people and entities to really stick to that four-win mark. Whereas you and I and others that are around here, we get to see it. We're certainly much closer to the situation. We see the changes. We get to talk with these players. And so that's why we come in with a much more, I think, informed opinion on what this team is capable of.
Yes, we're practice watching. We're talking to these people. We know what's up. It might be a defense mechanism, too. I'm never going to walk in and say, no, BYU is not going to go bowling. They're going to have fewer than six wins.
Sure.
I just don't think that. If BYU goes at least 2-1 right non-conference, they have to go at least 4-5 in conference to make a bowl game. That's the mark. Last year was 2-7. You've got to at least double your Big 12 wins should you go 2-1. Now, if you go 3-0, you have a strong start. You beat SMU. Now you're feeling pretty good, right? Going into Kansas State, game four. Retro Unis home opener in the Big 12. That'll be a very exciting night, regardless. But hopefully, BYU is at least 2-1 at that point.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said minimum. Worst case scenario needs to be 2-1 after the first three games.
Okay, our question of the day: which month of games on BYU's football schedule is the toughest at BYU? Some on X. September. They need to start on the right foot to have a good season. The games might not be the hardest, but it will set the tone for the season if they can start strong. Absolutely. And last year, we forget, BYU started very strong.
Yeah.
4-1, 5-2. Unfortunately, some injuries happened, and the run game never ignited. That was tough. At Elijah, BYU, AZ on X. Even only with three games, October's the toughest month. Elijah, we got a seat for you, pun intended. continue to wait on X, weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Coordinator's Corner returns on Monday as Aaron Roderick,
Jay
Hill, and Kelly Papenga, the trifecta. They'll be joining Greg Rubel to look back on fall camp, preview the season, and look ahead to the game against Southern Illinois. That's coming up Monday, August 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the BYU TV app.
Coming up, the latest from BYU football's preparations for Southern Illinois, how men's hoops NIL money is perceived nationally, and will Zach Wilson be the Broncos' backup? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Jason. It's the 100th season of BYU football. Not sure if you've heard that yet. If not, hey, now you know. So we do a trivia question every day, which most of the time now we're missing. Colton Potter, what do you have for us today?
All right, today's question. In 2008, Austin Colley tied the BYU record for most touchdown receptions in a single season with 15. Whose record did he tie?
15 in a season. Now, Gordon Hudson, six out. There may have been a Clay Brown year there. Jay Miller never had 15 with Gary. He had 100 catches in a year. I know that was the record for a while.
Clay was my...
Clay Brown in 1980 could be...
That's...
15.
That was not that long ago.
Prior to 08. Johnny Harleen didn't do... have that many in a year, I don't think.
Your boy, Dennis?
Chris Smith never, with Ty. Well, Dennis, his best year would have been like 09.
09, yeah, yeah.
Or 08. He had a good year in 08. Dennis was good the whole time.
All right, so what are we landing on here?
I'm thinking Clay Brown, 1980.
Yeah, let's go.
Nailed it. Clay Brown, 1980
is
correct.
Yeah! Let's go! And you know what's funny about that? They didn't include Clay's bowl game stats, correct? Colton in that? I don't think they did.
No, they did not.
So Clay catches that touchdown for, of course, the Miracle Bowl win. That would have been, I think he had multiple touchdowns in that game, high scoring. So he might have had 17 or whatever. Ty Detmer's stats, by the way, did include the bowl games.
Which is nuts.
Would have had even more passing yards and touchdowns. Let's go. All right, great stuff. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football is just 9 days away from its opening game against Southern Illinois. The Cougars return to practice today. Begin prep for the Salukis. There's still not a starting quarterback that has been named, at least publicly.
Yeah, I wonder if they've said it internally. They walk in today. Perhaps we'll find out. We'll wait for
eventually.
Pete Thamel to tweet it. Cougars in the NFL preseason action tonight. Kingsley Suamataia and your Chiefs ship travel to Chicago to play on Hard Knocks against the Bears.
Blake Freeling,
Keaton Slovis. That's always the case here. And the Colts play Ryan Rico and the Bengals.
Number 4, BYU women's soccer is in the loo tonight.
That's what they say, in the loo?
It is. That's what people in the... It's from Nelly. He's from the loo, and he's proud.
Gotcha. If you're English, it's a little different.
Well, they're in St. Louis tonight for their second straight top 25 matchup. Tonight, they'll be taking on the 23rd-ranked Billikens. BYU won the first-ever meeting between these two teams last season in Provo. You can watch the match at 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight on ESPN+.
What's a Billiken, you ask? A mythical good luck figure. Yeah.
Pudgy, too.
Oh, okay.
Sort of Slimer-esque from Ghostbusters.
Oh, Slimer-esque. I understand. Soccer goalie Lynette Hernandez was named Big 12 co-goalkeeper of the week after six saves, including a penalty kick save in a 1-0 win versus number 19 Wisconsin last week.
Women's volleyball played Southern Utah in an exhibition match yesterday at Millard High School. Now, while results were not posted, after a few phone calls, some sleuthing, we learned that BYU won the first three sets, lost the fourth, and then won set five.
The office attendant at the front desk told me there were 390 students. The whole school went to it.
You just Google search Millard High School,
just
call the office.
This is what basic journalism is. You ask questions, you call people. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. More sleuthing.
More sleuthing. What a great word, right?
Fantastic.
All right. CBS Sports recently polled college basketball head coaches about a number of different topics related to college hoops. And one of those questions that was asked was, quote, which three programs do you believe has the best NIL situation? BYU was the third most common team included in over 30% of the coaches' answers. What do you make of this?
That's wild that they are perceived by a third of, it was 100 coaches, by the way, polled. That they are the top NIL school. That's incredible. Congrats to BYU for being in that space. It has made BYU more competitive than it would have been without it, of course. And now BYU is in a position where they're getting the likes of Yegor Demon and Cannon Catchings, and they're in the mix for the number one guy for next year and other five stars. It's awesome because now BYU can continue to attract the best talent who want to come to BYU, who are members of the church, and other great fits.
Yeah.
and compete in the Big 12 at a level that perhaps we've never seen.
This is awesome. And this is just one of the components that is putting BYU in the national conversation.
Yes.
And you're having college basketball podcasts that you've never heard of that are now talking about BYU basketball because of the buzz that is surrounding this program. And then you get these recruits coming in and it just sort of piles on more positivity and more attention for all the right reasons towards BYU basketball. I think it's fantastic.
It takes one major influencer that wants to help a program to change things around. I would submit, where is it for BYU football? Can BYU football be in the NIL space to the point where they can attract similar recruits and compete for a Big 12 title? I want to see it in the next couple of years. We'll see. I'm trying my best to earn that money and give it. Oh, wait. I know we all can't wait to watch Kevin Young and BYU when they open the season against Central Arkansas in how many days?
Countdown to the Bears.
75.
I wasn't sure how we were doing that. We did not practice that way. I wasn't sure if we're going 75 days. It was very rushed.
75.
75.
On election night. It's going to be a busy night.
I think it'll be a good distraction, whoever wins.
Bo Nix was named the Broncos' starting quarterback yesterday. How does this affect Zach Wilson's future in the Mile High?
Well, we know he's not going to be the starter. We know that. What we don't know is, does that mean he's going to be second string? Does that mean he's going to be third string? How many quarterbacks is Denver going to keep?
Yeah.
Because Sean Payton announced that Nix would be the starter. What he didn't say was what the depth chart looks behind him. That has not been released, and I even looked this morning to see if anything had been updated. So I don't know. There was even one person that speculated that it may come down to Stidham or Zach Wilson to stay on the roster. Mm. So right now we don't know, but it's – this was the way it was always trending anyway, because you could tell they loved Bo Nix. And there's a lot of stories out there that Sean Payton was burned when the Chiefs jumped up ahead of them to take Mahomes because the Saints were going to take him. And he had kind of a similar feeling with Bo Nix, and he was not going to let this kid slip. So when he was there, they took him. So he has high hopes for him. And if you're Denver, what else are you going to do? Start the guy. Let him play. So I don't know. The good news is Sean Payton is going out of his way to compliment Zach Wilson. Whether that means it's good for him in Denver or good for him somewhere else.
Because they can get a draft pick if they trade him.
He is gonna be on a roster this year.
He said over the weekend to a podcast, right? I'm trying to earn you millions.
Yep.
Somewhere. Is he too high profile to be the third string? Like, is that just a situation they don't want to have or he doesn't want to have? Because I would imagine he could stay on the roster there.
I would imagine it depends on what other opportunities are available.
The Jets are paying for most, if not all, of Zach's salary this year, as I understand it, in that trade with Denver. So he's not. We know he's not going to be the starter, as you mentioned. Bo Nix, by the way, only a couple months younger than Zach. Bo was in college forever.
Right.
Zach was in college for 3 years.
All right. BYU football posted this beautiful one-handed catch from freshman receiver Cody Hagan. What are your expectations? So we're looking at, look at this, one-handed catch, right, little tiptoeing in. What are your expectations for BYU's talented freshman receiver?
Okay, it's a loaded room with Lassiter, Roberts, Marion, Kingston, Epps, and Phillips. Those are your top six. Cody Hagan feels like he's number seven, and maybe Tay Nakua, number eight, with some other talented young guys. They typically only travel like about eight receivers, so maybe there's your eight that travel, we'll see. But Cody Hagan feels like a guy that's going to play. My hope is that he only plays four games in redshirts, because you're going to lose Darius Lassiter and some good talent on this team after this year, where maybe there's a few more reps for you next year. But this is a talented guy we've been waiting for a long time. Speedster out of Corner Canyon, that has great hands, as you
just said. Yeah, I mean, highly touted high school player when he came out, and for BYU to get him, I love his athleticism. I love the skill set. We saw all of it in that one highlight right there. I'm with you. I would love for him to get some playing time, get some looks, make some catches, but still be able to keep that year if possible. But look, if this is one of those freshman guys that blows up and you just sort of force feed in the football, I'm perfectly fine with that. I have been on record saying I absolutely love this receiving corps. From top to bottom, I love the skill set. I love not just the guys that will get the starts, but I love the guys behind them. I have extremely high hopes for what this receiving corps can do this year. I love them.
We've seen one catch from JoJo Phillips, and it was a touchdown.
Yeah.
like that guy scratching the surface. He played high school basketball with Bronny James, by the way, at Sierra Canyon. Fun fact. Pretty awesome.
All right, season 9 of BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns Tuesday night as the head coach of the Cougars will join the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, as they preview year 2 in the Big 12 and game number 1 against Southern Illinois. That's Tuesday, August 27th at 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
We're back to the 10 football shows a week next week, which is awesome. After the break, Stuart Mandel of The Athletic on expectations for BYU football, the first year of the 12-team college football playoff. What will be the next big move in the sport? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our recruiting efforts is building a Big 12 football team.
There's really not too many easy outs in the Big 12.
They have prepared these young men in the offseason. There's just something different about this team. This team is built different.
We're live in Studio B in Provo, Utah on BYU TV and BYU Radio for BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepherd. Time now to talk with one of the main voices in college football media. His name is Stuart Mandel, the editor-in-chief at The Athletic, anchoring the college football coverage. Stuart, welcome back to the program.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're excited and awaiting a starting quarterback for BYU football any day now as BYU prepares for Southern Illinois. But as we get ready for the season, what are you most looking forward to as we enter the 2024 college football year?
It's just such a fascinating season because there's everything's different. You know, whether you want to spotlight the 12-team playoff. I mean, when does a major sport ever triple the size of its postseason in 1 year? And then, of course, all the conference realignment. All these glamorous matchups we're going to have now in the Big Ten and the SEC between, you know, brand name programs. I think it's going to feel a lot different. I think it's going to be very exciting. I'm sure it will not all go swimmingly. I'm sure there will be things people complain about, but it's fascinating.
Expectations are always interesting because, you know, everyone's going to have, if you have a close tie, you're probably going to feel a little bit different. If someone's looking on the outside, it may vary. Expectations for BYU football are very low. Most of the sites have BYU winning about 4 games. Where do you fall? Do you think that's fair based off of what you know about the Cougars? And what's your opinion on expectations for BYU football this year?
So knowing I was coming on here today, I came armed with some stats. And they're not very flattering stats. I did not realize that BYU last year was 117th in offense, yards per game, and 109th in defense. When you see those stats, you're like, how did they even win 5 games? I knew it would be a rough transition anytime you moved in from, you know, I know they weren't technically group of 5, but they were outside the power conferences and they moved into one. We saw that with Utah a dozen years ago. But that was obviously not an encouraging start. And then when you look toward this season, it's like, okay, what's going to be different? And maybe they get much better play at quarterback. I know they're excited about LJ Martin at running back. But I think realistically, improvement would be maybe they can win more than 4 games, obviously. But I don't think they're necessarily going to be dramatically better.
Yeah, the hope is they're at least bowl eligible. That's kind of the vibe around here, despite Vegas walking in saying, hey, 4 wins. And it's an interesting Big 12. 16 teams now, 4 in from the Pac-12. 4 were in last year, 3 from the AAC and BYU. So the Big 12, while you see a lot of programs that you're familiar with, it is crazy different this year. And Barry Trammell was on a couple days ago from Oklahoma saying, hey, it's like a totally different league. What's your perception of the new look Big 12?
It really hit home at Big 12 Media Day, walking into that stadium in Vegas and seeing the UCF mascot and the Arizona State mascot and any other combo like that. It does feel increasingly like just a mishmash of all these programs, assorted programs around the country. But that's no weirder than Stanford and Cal being in the ACC, SMU being in the ACC, 4 West Coast schools being in the Big Ten, playing Minnesota and Maryland. It's par for the course now in college sports. But I do think it's going to be a very exciting conference, very competitive. Said it a million times, there's 6 to 8 teams that would not surprise me if they won the conference this year. And that's a lot different than in the Big Ten where there's 2, right? So it should be fun.
Parity is king, but will there be multiple college football playoff bids, in your opinion, out of the Big 12?
It's definitely possible. One thing we won't know until we live through it is how the committee is going to compare. I mean, obviously, we know the champion gets in no matter what. If there's a second team and they're like a 10-2 team, but there's a 9-3 Michigan or 9-3 Tennessee, does the team with fewer losses automatically get the berth, or will they say, yeah, Michigan had two, they beat Oregon, they had a big win, and Kansas State didn't. We're just going to have to see. That'll be a big, fascinating part of the first year of the 12-team playoff.
Stuart, you mentioned just a second ago that, you know, there's, you know, six teams or so that you would not shock you if they were the team that won this thing. As we sit here today and we're talking, who are the two teams that right now you would expect to be in Dallas in the Big 12 championship game?
I do have Utah and Kansas State kind of 1A and everybody else 1B. I think having Cam Rising back, having Brant Keithy back, just all the injuries Utah suffered last year, they should be much better this year. And just, you know what you're going to get from them for the most part. K-State, I just think, has one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the country, in Avery Johnson, who people are going to finally see, play a full season, hopefully, if he's healthy. So they're right in the mix as well. I think they'll be a great running team as well. They do have a lot of changeover on the offensive line that could trip them up. So that's who I have playing in the Big 12 title game. But if you told me, it's not Kansas State, it's Iowa State or Oklahoma State or whatnot, the only one I'd be surprised is if Utah is not in that game. Because I do think, having recently been the two-time Pac-12 champion, having a guy like Cam Rising back, like, they should make that game.
Yeah, and this is the program that, awaits anxiously to see whether they make it or not. And BYU and Utah play again as conference foes, which will be really fun. Avery Johnson got the sunshine look from Remember the Titans, which will be great.
He does.
We'll talk Heisman odds with Avery and others coming up in a minute. This 12-team playoff is going to be interesting. As you mentioned, the conference champions are the top four seeds. So it's pretty interesting because you could have the top four seeds not be the top four teams per se if there are upsets in the college football playoff. What do you make of 12 teams and the setup as it is?
I think that's going to be the biggest adjustment because college football has always been straight up top four teams. Now, what they're doing in rewarding the conference champs is not that different than what we do, for instance, in the NFL. Like, if you could go 7-9, but if you win your division, you're going to be in the playoffs. And people just kind of accept that because that's how it's always been in the NFL. But it's going to be a big change the first time, the number 11 team is the ACC champion and is getting a number four seed in a first round bye. And, Georgia is 12-1 and lost by a field goal in the SEC championship game, and they're not getting the first round bye. That just goes so against the way the sport and determining the national champion has always been.
Stuart, you're a perfect person to ask this. I mean, and I know that it's probably not easy to give a direct answer to this because we just don't know, but you're so plugged in. I'm curious your take on this. And we've talked about so much about expansion, and every year we're talking about it. We get to this point and it's like, okay, well, maybe we're going to get a little bit of a breather. And then there are comments that come out recently that, maybe the next big thing or whatever the next big thing is 2 to 4 years away. And then there's been pushback to that saying, no, all these deals go to 2030, 2031. When whatever happens, happens, do you think it's sooner or later than, say, the next 4 or 5 years?
Well, it is true that most of these conference deals are now locked up for a while. But what kind of caught me by surprise last go around was Oklahoma and Texas didn't wait for the Big 12 deal to come up. They made their move 4 years in advance and then figured out the details of how to get out later. So if there's, even if a contract goes through 2031, that doesn't mean something doesn't happen, in 2027. We should be good for a couple of years unless, of course, Florida State and Clemson figure out a way to get out of the ACC, and then all bets are off.
Then the Big 12 comes knocking. They may have been knocking already. Do you think that that football will separate completely out of the NCAA independent of TV contracts? Like, they can just keep those and move themselves, or would that be attached somehow to the NCAA or no?
Well, the next the iteration that hasn't come yet that I think will is some sort of separation of football from the others, but it's difficult because, like we just talked about, all these conferences deals come up at a different time. The ACC is locked in till 2036. The SEC is till 2034. But I also think that this might be the last era of conferences in kind of the traditional way we think about them. At some point, everything has been about consolidation and getting all the big brand, as many big brands as you can into one TV deal. So the next logical thing would be, cut out the bottom half of the SEC, cut out the bottom of the Big Ten, just pull all the biggest TV brands into, the richest possible TV contract you can think of. And I think that day will come. I just don't know when. It just, it's not as easy as maybe some, you know, it's easy for me to write an article penciling, here's what a 32 team Super League would look like. But I'm not the one who has to figure out, get lawyers and figure out how to break contracts and whatnot.
Do you think that would be embraced nationally? Because in Europe, that was going to happen, right? You bring in, hey, we'll get Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Juventus. We'll all just play in our own league. They announced they were going to do that, and then 2 days later or whatever, they're like, no. Do you think that in America that would fly in college football?
The biggest difference, right, and I've thought about this a lot, is we saw this, you know, you're talking about the soccer Super League.
Yes.
The reason that got thwarted so quickly is that the fans of the teams that would have benefited went to bat for the fans of the teams that would have been, you know, put out to pasture. And we don't see that in college realignment. It's like, you know, Oklahoma's like, oh, there's a big paycheck over in the SEC. Bye-bye, Oklahoma State. You know, like the people just, it's cutthroat. It's capitalistic, right? So to answer your question, I mean, it would be very controversial and a lot of people would be upset about it. But at least to this point in college sports, that has not stopped people from making these kind of Machiavellian moves.
We felt that in 2010 with the separation of perceived brothers BYU and Utah. Got a little crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're willing to like upend 100 years of rivalries, right, for a paycheck. That is a lot different than what happened in Europe.
You know, Stuart, I think our fans are curious because until it happens, I think there will always be some uneasiness as to who's involved and who's not. In your opinion, with what BYU has done and the program that it is and the history that it has, do you think when this happens that BYU will be included in the teams that, I guess, that will be the haves versus the have-nots?
Yeah, I think they're right on the bubble, I guess. It depends on how many teams are going into this pool. But I always said during that period where they were an independent that they were a Power 5 team without the Power 5 designation in terms of not like necessarily on the field, but they have a national title. They had a Heisman Trophy winner. They play in a 64,000 seat stadium. In many ways, they were more Power 5 than the lower half of the Power 5, right? Where you have a lot of teams that don't have that rabid of fan base and don't have that kind of following. So I think they'd be very attractive for the very reason that ESPN had to deal with them when they're independent. They bring eyeballs. It just depends like how exclusive are we talking about once, if and when that day comes.
Yeah, what's that number? Because if it's too small, it's going to be hard for a lot of programs that you've heard of, right, that may or may not get in. Whenever there's been inclusion from someone outside to then inside in Power Football, it felt like there was some kind of validating season recent to that. Does BYU football need some kind of validating season to be in the mix should a move happen in the next couple of years?
I think they need to show that they can compete at a high level in a power conference, which, you know, isn't going to happen overnight. I mean, I just keep pointing to their rival at Utah when they first got to the Pac. I mean, they were, you know, they had that kind of two of those kind of seasons you talked about in the Mountain West, and they got to the big Pac-12 and they struggled those first couple of years, but eventually they put it together and you know, won conference championships. So even if BYU is bad again this year, I mean, they can't stay bad for too long because there is a huge recency bias to realignment. I don't think there's any question about that. Look at the programs that moved up to the Big 12 in this, you know, the group of five programs that moved up, Cincinnati, UCF. These are programs that had their moment on the national stage.
Stuart, we appreciate the time as always. Always great insight. And we recommend everyone go to The Athletic, subscribe and check it out. It's great stuff. Thanks, Stuart.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, editor-in-chief. Interesting stuff.
Great stuff.
I do feel like BYU needs to have a validating season. Like he said, recency bias, mm-hmm. Another phrase for it. That, hey, we're here and we're good. And he referenced Utah's struggles of 5-7 in year, I think, 1-3 in the Pac-12. Sometimes it takes a sec.
They had
BYU's
to ramp
in the middle
up.
Of
yes,
that.
It's know. Very normal.
We thought BYU was more prepared than 5-7, right, mm-hmm. Given how tough those schedules were.
Yes.
You know, 7-5, is it that big of a difference?
Utah had a 12-year head start on all this stuff. You know, we always want to compare these two because of the rivalry and how close
and that's
everybody
fair.
Is. It's fair. Yeah. They also had a 12-year head start on this situation that BYU is now in year two of.
Yeah. Excited for in 12 years, hopefully, for BYU to be in the same spot. If not sooner, let's go.
All right, check out the Deep Blue podcast with BYU basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess.
I listened to it. It was great.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Excellent host when you hosted it, not now when I host it.
You're a better host than I
was. No. BYU basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess. We discussed BYU basketball's vision under Kevin Young, why he thinks he's a good recruiter, and why he didn't come to BYU for his collegiate career. We get into all of that. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Why he kept some BYU gear he left BYU to go back to Utah.
Great story.
That was
on this.
It was great. Coming up, the top 10 players from the Big 12 in Heisman odds. There's sunshine. How many do BYU play against? This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B in Provo. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepherd. Let's talk Heisman odds, okay? No BYU player in the mix for this per se, but let's look at the opponents that BYU plays in the Big 12 and how many they're going to play. So these are the top 10. BYU plays 7 of the top 10, according to Circus Sports. So Avery Johnson, who Stuart Mandel just brought up, I call him Sunshine, quarterback, Kansas State's number one. Shedeur Sanders, same odds, by the way, tied for first. Jalen Daniels, we did not see him last year against Kansas. He was hurt. We're going to see him this year,
we think.
Yeah,
we certainly will. Yeah, and he's cleared, and that's a very – he's a very dangerous player. This is dangerous for the Big 12 because this guy is unbelievable.
He's really good. We're going to miss Shedeur Sanders, by the way.
Yeah,
he's going to go
Colorado
pro after this year,
not playing Colorado. No Coach
number
Prime
four.
Pregame interview for me.
Dang it. Number four, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
One of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic guy.
The next three guys are all tied for fifth.
Yeah. Cam Rising is back. He missed last year after the ACL, suffered in the Rose Bowl the year before. He's got the biggest helmet in college football. KJ Jefferson, Arkansas transfer.
Yep.
Saw him the last 2 years, Shep. Yep. It's going to be 3 years in a row.
Yeah, and we were able to talk with him at Media Day, and the reason that he's at UCF is Gus Malzahn. And talked with so many other guys. Mm. They want to play for Gus. And I like the combination of that offense with his skill set.
It and scares me quite a bit,
We
actually.
Talked about, look, BYU having to go to Orlando to face this team, that is going to be a difficult game. This is going to be a team that's going to scare a lot of people.
I hope the game is more fun than Disney World for the BYU fans. I really do. Noah Fifita came on the scene last year and had a dynamic season. He was awesome in Arizona. New head coach there. That's going to be interesting. Ollie Gordon II here is the first non-quarterback on the list out of the Big 12. The Doak Walker Award winner.
I'm shocked he's this low.
The only reason he's not in the NFL is because he had only played 2 years. He was a sophomore.
Yep.
This guy was incredible against BYU. The defense had a hard time stopping him. He led the nation in rushing last year. He is a problem, but it's going to be fun to see him play against BYU in Provo.
I wonder if the reason he's low in terms of the betting odds within the Big 12 is because you're not sure how many games he's going to miss.
Oh, right.
So that may be
off the field stuff.
That may be the reason.
Season starts soon.
Yeah, and I've not heard.
They already said he won't miss any. Actually, we're being told. So Mike Gundy already decided. He had that comment at Big 12 Media Days where he's like. He had some comments on it. Go check it out.
So Ollie Gordon, to me, I'm shocked he's this low.
I would have Ollie a little higher. Like, is Cam Rising a better Heisman candidate than Ollie Gordon? I would say no, right?
Travis
Hunter,
yes. I would
have
Ollie Gordon over Cam Rising.
I would have Ollie Gordon in the five spot. That's one change. This is Vegas. They know a little bit better than that. Okay, Teteroa McMillan. This guy is a baller. Wide receiver, one-handed catches. He's going to be like an NFL day two guy, I think, next year. He is... the top wide receiver in the Big 12.
And BYU gets Arizona in Provo this year.
Also going to be fun to watch him.
Yes, it is.
The season tickets this year are spectacular.
You're seeing an
amazing slew of
that games. Day is going to be a big, big day, not just in BYU football.
Is that November 23rd? Is that day? No, that's Arizona State.
Yeah, it's October 12th.
Mm. Okay, and Baron Morton, last but not least, Texas Tech. He was hurt and didn't play against BYU last year. So you're going to see 7, we think, of the top 10 Heisman odds guys, which is going to be a ton of fun. So it is loaded. Next year, BYU needs to have a guy that's somewhere on this list in the top 10, right? Let's get a player. Jake Retzlaff has a great year. He returns. Maybe he's in this mix. Let's hope that that happens. Coming up, which month of games on BYU's schedule do you think is the toughest? And we remind you to watch BYU women's soccer coming up tonight against St. Louis. That's a big, big game. More after this. Who gets the Elite Voice of the Day? And the Rise and Shoutout, this is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, which month of games is on BYU football schedule is the toughest? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Andrew Peterson on IG. October. He agrees with us, Shep.
Yep.
Oh.
Because it's the right answer.
Because it's correct. Three straight Big 12 title contenders is a tough stretch. Yes, it is. Today's Rise and Shout Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Let's give it to BYU Women's Soccer. You can see, just taking pictures yesterday. Hey! Under the arch. Hey, I've been there.
I've been there,
too. Playing the Billikens tonight.
Good luck against the Billikens. It is going to be hot and humid.
Yes, it is.
Hot.
The thing I thought of when I saw this picture, Cardinals are three blocks away, walking off in extras last night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, women's volleyball, close second, hanging out in Fillmore, by the way. Our thanks to Stuart Mandel. Sorry to Dennis Bitter, we ran out of time. For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to G. Pittman. Go, Cougs!